Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and welcome to June. Gee, that happened very quickly. Personally, my May was insane between conferences, court hearings, moving house. I could not have had a busier month. So I am looking forward to refreshing in June. And our topic this month is business succession planning. This is more than just, I want my children to take over my business. This is really going to, this month, get into the nitty-gritty of what happens to your business after you die, things you need to consider, what you need to include in your estate plan, what are some things outside of your estate plan? So what are practical day-to-day things you can do to protect the legacy of your business? When people come to see me to do their estate plan, and in particular their will, they will quite often have seen a practitioner or done an online will, public trustee will, which does not address their business in any way whatsoever. This is a mistake. It's really important that your business, any trusts you are in control of, are properly dealt with in your estate plan. So podcast for June is what happens to your business when you die. And I'm going to start with a real classic lawyer answer. It depends. Classic. And it really depends on the setup of the business and any trusts that you may have attached to that business and what you have included in your estate plan. So the structure and then your estate plan. If you were silent, so we're going to, in this podcast, look at it from the perspective that you didn't listen to Lydia and you didn't see her and get a proper estate plan done. You just went online, okay? Or you got a DIY at the post office, which you all know how I feel about that. So we're going to take it from that perspective. You have a business, you run a business, you have a trust involved with that for taxation reasons, and you have passed away. No mention of your business or your trust in your will. So if you had a company where you are a joint director, so there are other directors, your directorship, it just becomes at an end and the other directors are still there. That's quite a good outcome, I would say, if you didn't have a will with any direction. That's a very good outcome. If you are a sole director, so this is very common with small businesses, there's a sole director, sole secretary. Section 201F of the Corporations Act provides that in the event of the death of a single member director of a proprietary company, the executor or other personal representative appointed to administer the deceased estate may appoint a new director in the company. And that director has all the powers, rights, responsibilities, duties of the deceased director and is to keep the company running until shares are transferred to beneficiaries who then appoint new directors if they wish. So basically, in layman terms, your executor appoints the director and they can appoint themselves. So a lot of the time, that's what I'll say to my clients. If you're sole, it's that your executor will appoint themselves or someone else to manage the company, deal with it, and then after the shareholding has been transferred, whoever is in your will or, you know, by the laws of intestate, then a new director may be appointed. So that's the directorship of a proprietary company. In terms of the shareholding, it's very similar. If it's a joint shareholding, the shareholding stays with that joint shareholder, quite common with husbands and wives, okay? Otherwise, your shareholding is an asset. It's an asset in your will. And if you have no direction about that shareholding, it will just be transferred in accordance with your will or the laws of intestacy. So if your will says, I give my whole estate to my spouse, then your spouse gets the shareholding of that company. Company constitutions sometimes differ in terms of transferring of shares, but in my experience, it's generally that if it's fine to go to somebody else. I guess the only thing I'd call out is that if there's a specific shareholders agreement, then that may dictate an alternate way that those shares are to be dealt with. And for a company, this is the reason that I always ask my clients for a copy of the company constitution and any shareholders agreement, if there are multiple shareholders, to really see what the position is on death. It is not always that simple. And also, I find a lot of clients, like myself, had their company, their trust structure set up by an accountant, and they don't really understand what happens on these kinds of occasions on death. So that's a company. In terms of trust, it really, again, depends. I'm like a broken record here. A lot of trusts will have a corporate trustee. So the company might be the trustee of that trust, which means that they are the controller and essentially the administrator of that trust. The corporate trustee is controlled by the director. So that's why we need to, where there's a corporate trustee, look at the company, see who's director and what happens so that you can maintain that level of control. If it's an individual trustee and there are two, it will just revert to the remaining one. If you're the sole trustee and you pass, then who gets appointed is in accordance with the terms of the trust deed. About half the trust deeds I read will allow a direction in the will. Otherwise, it may be for the appointer or the principal to appoint the trustee, which is an interesting one if you are also the appointer and the principal. So then you then need to again look at the trust deed to see how that role is appointed. And that is why I ask for trust deeds as well when we're preparing wills, to see what the succession is in accordance with the terms. So that is essentially what happens when you die. And it's very much, I guess, dependent on, particularly for the trust, it's very much dependent on the trust deeds, but companies are a little bit more set out. Now for a partnership, if a partner, so an individual, if you've got an individual kind of partnership, one person dies, then the partnership is actually dissolved. That structure is at an end. So it is important to have a look at the partnership agreement to see what has been agreed in that circumstance. But by law, it's at an end. Another interesting one is a joint venture arrangement. So even though joint ventures are usually between companies, sometimes the joint venture will dictate what happens when the director of one of the joint venture participants or partners dies. So that's a reason that we would have a look at the joint venture agreement, which may determine what happens when somebody dies. And then the other one is sole trader. So sole trader one is quite interesting. And I've only actually ever had one sole trader client, which is quite funny. And I really had to look in to the position. And the position is your sole tradership is just at an end. It just ends because you are the person, you are the essentially the entity, and you die. It's just at an end. So everything that was owned by that sole tradership just passes into the estate and then is distributed in accordance with the will, which I find really super interesting. So that's kind of the basics of what happens when you die. And in the next few episodes, we will talk about next week kind of what I would recommend people do. We're also going to talk to Scott McNeil of Gibson McNeil Lawyers about selling a business and his views on business succession planning. So he is a commercial lawyer in Brisbane who I refer all my commercial work to. Highly respected, highly, I really trust him a lot. And so he's going to talk to us about that. And then we're also going to talk about shareholding and your estate plan and planning now for what you should do after death. I think the biggest takeaway should be that you need to plan. It's not just a, oh, well, that'll just happen. You really need to plan out, think about what it looks like. For some people that have built quite a reputable, large business and they don't have children that are interested in taking it over, what's going to happen, when you die? And I think it's quite a confronting conversation for a lot of people, but is one that you really need to have when you're looking at your estate plan and your will to make sure that your wishes are followed. Because the last thing that anyone wants is your wishes not to be followed and your hard work and, you know, something that you have worked really hard at just kind of getting whittled to the ground. That sounds bad, but I think you know what I mean. So that is this week's podcast. I hope you found it interesting. I actually love talking about business succession planning. So this month is right up my alley. If you had any questions or you're thinking about your estate plan and what you've put in there in regards to your business and trust, you can hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. And you can also send me an email, Lydia, L-I-D-I-A, at vicarlaw.com.au. Not a problem. So thanks so much for listening, and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.